Meanwhile, a fearful South, expecting the worst, watched the canvas unfold. A confident Republican Party in the North eagerly anticipated the day when the ballots would be cast. And so they were cast. And let's move on to see what the results were. They were nothing unanticipated. It was pretty clear what was going to happen, and that is exactly what did happen. Abraham Lincoln won 180 electoral votes and nearly 1.9 million popular votes. He carried every free state except New Jersey, which he split with Stephen Douglas. Lincoln got four of the electoral votes. Douglas got three in New Jersey. And in every state of the North, except California, Oregon, and New Jersey, with those three exceptions, Lincoln outpolled all of his opponents put together. His 180 electoral votes were an absolute majority. He would have won even if all of his opponents had pooled their electoral votes. Lincoln still would have won the election of 1860, and by a fairly comfortable margin. The other three candidates won a much larger popular vote, about 2.8 million, nearly a million more votes cast for the other three candidates than were cast for Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln's percentage was just under 40% of the popular vote. But their electoral votes, all those other candidates put together, only amounted to 123. If all the other candidates had run together under one banner, they would have carried just three more states. They would have carried California and Oregon and New Jersey, and they still would have lost decisively in the Electoral College. Breaking down the non-Lincoln votes, Stephen A. Douglas received about 1.35 million votes. He was the second largest vote getter in the canvas, but he only won 12 electoral votes. Second most popular votes, only 12 electoral votes. He got those three from New Jersey, and he got Missouri's nine. John C. Breckinridge tallied about 675,000 popular votes. He carried 72 electoral votes. He did very well among the slave states. He carried all of the Lower South, the entire tier of the seven Lower South states. He also carried Maryland, Delaware, Arkansas, and North Carolina, all slave states, of course. John Bell won the border and upper South states of Tennessee, Virginia, and Kentucky. That gave him 39 electoral votes. He had just under 600,000 popular votes. Lincoln's greatest strength came from the upper sections of the North, the most staunchly anti-slavery sections of the North. And in the Yankee counties of Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa. In those parts of the North, New England and the upper North, he polled about 60% of the vote. In the other parts of the free states, he barely managed a majority of the popular vote. Thus, the strongly anti-slavery portion of the North was the key to his victory. And that meant influence for that segment of Northern society in the next Congress and within the Lincoln administration. Although many abolitionists had been cool toward the Republican Party during the election and before the campaigning actually began, most of them rejoiced at the Republican victory. Charles Francis Adams, the son and grandson of United States presidents and an abolitionist himself, a founder of the Free Soil and Republican parties in Massachusetts, Adams sat back and assessed the results of the campaign, and he spoke for many other abolitionists that he said, with Lincoln's election, the Great Revolution has actually taken place. The country has thrown off the domination of the slaveholders. So 1860 was a momentous political year in United States history. In the wake of seismic events at Harper's Ferry in 1859, the nation had gone to the polls. They had been presented with a stark choice. We're often given choices that don't seem really to be choices. The candidates often seem to be very similar in modern elections. That wasn't the case in 1860. There is a clear choice. You vote for the Republicans, there will be no more slavery in the territories. There'll be a different economic agenda. You vote for Breckinridge, there'll be an absolute guarantee for slavery, and so forth. There was a real choice in 1860. The Republicans won. They quite astonishingly won. They'd only been a party for a few years, and here in their second contest, they had elected a man president. The great question left hanging after the votes were counted was, What next? What will the South do? What will the Southern reaction be? And that's the topic we'll turn to in our next lecture.